Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Hello, I'm Father Robert Nixon, a monk of the Order of Saint Benedict. And this is the commentary series on Abandonment to Divine Providence by Jean-Pierre de Cussard. Today is day one of our series, and we will first be taking a brief look at the life and times of Father Jean-Pierre de Cussard, the 18th century French Jesuit priest and the author of Abandonment to Divine Providence. We'll also be looking at the overall plan of his book, and exactly how this timeless treatise on the spiritual life came into existence. As always, we'll be using the TAN edition of the book, and you can download your classic companion PDF for this series from tancommentaries.com, which includes the reading plan and many more spiritual aids to help you to apply this classic to your daily life. But before we jump in, let us begin with a short prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O Lord and Heavenly Father, your divine providence exceeds everything we could ever hope for. You guide us gently with your loving hand. You direct us with your infallible wisdom. Teach us to abandon ourselves completely to your own divine providence, to trust in you with all our heart and all our mind, to give our whole life and being over to you, following the example of your only begotten Son, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. So the author of this great book, Abandonment to Divine Providence, is a certain French priest, Jean-Pierre de Cussard. And although the book is extremely well known and popular, we don't know all that much about the life of Jean-Pierre de Cussard. There's no surviving early biography or autobiography or anything like that. But we do know the bare outlines of his career and his religious life. So he was born in the year 1675, and he entered the Jesuit novitiate in Toulouse, which is a city in France, at the age of 18, which would have been about the average age for a person to enter the novitiate in those days. A little later, he went on to teach the classics, meaning the Latin language, the literature of the Roman Empire, and also the Greek language and ancient Greek literature at one of the Jesuit colleges in Aurillac in France as well. Now, in those days, education in the classics was taken for granted as the foundation of any kind of education. So before a person would start to study philosophy or theology or science or humanities or anything, they would receive a basic grounding in the Latin language, which was the language of not only the liturgy, but also learning, and also a grounding in Greek, although to a much lesser extent. He was ordained a priest in 1705, by which stage he would have been 20 years old, and took his final vows in 1708. So the Jesuits have an interesting progression of their vows. Without going into too much detail, there is a kind of fourth vow, emphasizing especially obedience to the Pope. So then from 1708 to 1714, he taught at a Jesuit college in Toulouse, and then he went out and he served as a kind of itinerant missionary and preacher. At this stage, the Jesuits were very big in education, especially in France, and they ran innumerable colleges and schools. Now, in about the year 1733, he came into contact with a certain convent of nuns. And this was a convent of nuns of the Order of the Visitation. And he became the spiritual director of this convent and also the spiritual director and confessor of a lot of the individual nuns at the convent. He continued in this role until about 1740. And it was in this capacity that he began to formulate some of his pieces of spiritual advice, which were based on his long experience as a spiritual director, his observations of human nature and the human condition, and also his very profound theological and mystical insights. And all of these come to the fore very much in the Abandonment to Divine Providence. So after this, he began to struggle with a deterioration in his vision, and he had more and more trouble with his eyes, and eventually it began to approach the condition of blindness. But reports tell us that he faced this impairment with great fortitude and faith, really putting into practice everything which he talked about. This abandonment to the will of God, this complete abandonment and surrender to divine providence. And he died 1751 at the age of 76, which in those days would have been a reasonably grand old age. So a very holy man, an effective spiritual director, and also an astute observer of the human condition, and someone who's able to express all of this in wonderfully succinct and wise advice. Now, France at the time, this is during the 1700s, the 18th century, was kind of in a bit of a golden era as far as the Catholic Church is concerned. So this was a stage at which the Council of Trent had taken place, of course, a couple of centuries before, but only little by little were the reforms and recommendations of the Council of Trent put into practice. And this included improvements to the liturgy, improvements to the way convents and monasteries were run, improvements to the way clergy were educated, and also a kind of more widespread general education and catechetical education of all of the faithful. And this is also a point at which the Protestant disturbance, all of the chaos which had arisen as a result of the so-called reforms, the schism started by people like Luther and then carried on by Calvin, had really come to much of an end in France. So in fact, in the very late 17th century, Catholicism had been declared the official and the only religion of France. And that was not really a question of imposing something upon people against their will, but rather it was recognizing a reality that was already there. So pretty much 100% of the population would have been Catholic. Of course, there would have been the odd dissenter floating around, maybe a few Calvinists in certain regions, but by and large, it was 100% Catholic. And vocations were flourishing at this point in time. So convents were filled, orders like the Franciscans, the Dominicans, the Jesuits especially were attracting a great number of vocations. But this wasn't the only important thing that was happening in French religious life. So there was also this rising of interest in the spiritual life amongst the laity. So lay people who were intending to incorporate their faith at a deeper level beyond, you know, simply attending Mass on Sundays and on feast days, but rather making it a living part of their daily reality. And so there was a lot of spiritual literature in circulation, which was intended for the laity. We only need to think about works like the Treatise on the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales and and so forth. So at this stage also, France was doing very well economically and on the whole was a very peaceful and happy country. So there were at this stage already starting to be a certain amount of ferment, which later took its expression in very violent form in the French Revolution. But this was still more than half a century away from when de Cussade was writing. So he was writing for this group of nuns who were in a very Catholic country, very safe country. But of course, they had the struggles which pertain to community life. And these struggles are not only exclusively to people who are in religious communities, but people in every kind of community, families, workplaces, and so forth. And for this reason, this work, The Abandonment to Divine Providence, is almost universally relevant. And it's very important to note that he chose to write it in the French language rather than Latin. If he'd intended it primarily for priests and religious and theologians, writing in Latin would have made much more sense. But instead, he intended it for a very broad readership. So he chose the vernacular language of his time and place, which, of course, was French. Now, the structure of the book, in fact, is not terribly long in terms of number of pages or number of words. So it's a book which is much shorter than the writings of St. Francis de Sales, for example. He divides it up into two main sections, which he calls books, although both of these books are contained within the single volume. Book one is entitled On the Virtue of Abandonment to Divine Providence, Its Nature and Its Excellence. And he divides this one book into two chapters, but each of these chapters are divided into several shorter sections. In fact, a total of 9 sections for the first chapter and a total of 12 sections for the second chapter. In the first book, he gives us a definition, a description, and numerous examples of exactly what abandonment to divine providence means. He gives it a theological context and also a scriptural context. And this is one of the features of de Cussade's writing, is that he's always ready to provide us with examples taken from scripture, the lives of Christ himself, of the Blessed Virgin Mary, of Saint Joseph, and of all the apostles and all the other figures who appear in scripture, of where they're actually putting this abandonment to divine providence into practice. And he explains how it makes a lot of theological sense in the context of our Catholic belief in the omnipotence of God, the wisdom and the compassion of God, and also the fact that we have an active God who is involved in things, involved in our life here at every single moment that we live. So it's not a kind of deistic approach, which is God just creates at the beginning and lets things run his course. No, God is there at every instant of our life. The second section, which is the longer, is book two, and it's called On the State of Abandonment. And it comprises 4 separate chapters, each of which is divided into numerous shorter sections. And this contains a description of the characteristics of a person who has achieved this state of abandonment to divine providence, of what they can expect to encounter in this state and how they can apply it to the situations of their own life. And we are going to be examining in each of these podcast episodes 2 or 3 or sometimes 4 of these short sections which make up the various chapters of this wonderful and classic book. So when we come back, we're going to be looking at chapter 1 of book 1, and we're going to examine book 1, sections 1 through to 3. So this brings us now to the end of day 1 in our study of the classic work, Abandonment to Divine Providence, by French Jesuit priest Jean-Pierre Ducussade. Thank you so much for listening and for joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. And as I said, next time we'll be discussing chapter 1, book 1, sections 1 through to 3, in which the author addresses how fidelity to God's order will ultimately lead us to sanctity. Until then, may Almighty God bless you. Thank you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including Abandonment to Divine Providence and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.